Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. Now these were simple lamps fired from clay. They were somewhat elongated, teardrop shaped, if you will. Had a spout that was pinched in a place at one end, where a flax-made wick could be placed. And some of them, archaeologically and historically seen, had a little finger handle on the end of them. So whether it was a saucer type or one a little fancier with a handle, we don't necessarily historically know. There are differences of opinions because of what was discovered during that time. The Bible said they went forth to meet the bridegroom, and five of them were wise. Then the Bible goes on to say, and five were foolish. Verse number 3 said, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. One historian I read mentioned that they on average would have had enough oil to burn this lamp for about 4 to 5 hours. So they had some light, just not enough light. They had some religion, but not enough to finish, to make it to the most important finish in this race of life, which is the end. You don't just need the Holy Ghost, my friend, to get you through a temporary trial or to help you get up when you've been knocked down by circumstances in life. You have to have the oil of the Holy Ghost to take you all the way to the end. Got to have it in every part of your life. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now this vessel was basically a pottery jar of some sort for containing the extra oil. Now think about this. The vessel was separate from the lamp. What's in your vessel? In fact, Apostle Paul said, we hold a treasure in this earthen vessel. That's the Holy Ghost. So you've got to have the Holy Ghost, not just in the lamp. The Word of God is the lamp, but you got to have it in the vessel. Got to have it in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart. Got to have it in your earthen container, your body. Now, verse number 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, and I will take my text from here. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, according to word studies in the New Testament, this phrase, there was a cry made, listen closely, is in the perfect tense, representing the past event as perpetuated in the present result. In other words, the call was given one time. It wasn't necessarily given repeatedly. Now think about that. It was given one time, but it has a repetitive effect because it is rendered, according to this Greek scholar, by the English present. In other words, a great and decisive change was the result of the cry. One call given, but over time, many results as a result or because of that one call. No more sleeping, no more waiting, no more silence. There is a cry, an awakening, and then the bustle and the trimming of the lamps and the running to the oil vendors. I minister for a little while for your consideration, conviction, and the increase of your faith. The last call. The last call. No doubt there is a stirring in the land. Some in this generation are aroused from the sleep of sin by end time alarms. They hear the whining ambulances speeding to victims of pandemics and natural disasters. Not only that, the earth is shaking. Violent winds cutting swaths of ruin and heartbreak, incinerating fires, maliciously spreading over vast lands of flammable countries and vulnerable continents. It's as if hell itself has belched from hidden fissures. Volcanoes are blowing their tops. Enraged men desperate for work and money are blowing their tops. Political leaders, men and women, are blowing their tops. Lava runs down the mountains. Hatred spews from the unholy. Malevolence steams from intemperate atheists and humanists who want God obliterated from any form of publicity. Bullets of death rip through the young. Swords of angels clash in the invisible realms of eternal atmospheres. Dirty syringes lay in putrid, trash-strewn alleys near overdosed bodies. Souls that slip through the cracks of earth into eternity. Sadness drips from the eyes of the abused, and death lingers in places it should not be allowed. They are too young, too strong, too healthy, and too good in some respects. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. I believe we are living in the generation of the last call. You need to make sure that your lamp is trimmed and burning bright. You need to make sure that you've got the oil that you need to make it past midnight. You need to have a tenacity of truth in your spirit, a boldness of faith that is incessible and unquenchable, because we are nearing that final hour, the midnight hour, when the call of the bridegroom will come. I believe this pandemic is just another blaring signal telling us that we are nearing the city limits of eternity. And we are closer than we've ever been. The clock is ticking. The seconds are passing. The minutes are burning up. The grains of sand are falling faster, it seems, in the hourglass. And so it is ticking, and it's like a bomb for some who aren't ready. But it's blessed assurance for those who know that beyond the trial, there is a treasure of a new Jerusalem. We are going to a place where there is no more death and no more sorrow and no more gloom and no more disease and no more sickness, no more pandemics, no more problems, no more prisons. It's the last call. But you can't see what's going on in the end times if you don't have a light to read by, to understand, to perceive. In fact, Paul told the Thessalonians that the days of the end times should not catch them unaware, because they were not in darkness, that the day of the Lord should overtake them as a thief. The reason he told the church at Thessalonica this is because he said, you're not children of the night, you're not children of darkness, you're not stumbling around with imperceptiveness. You are children of light. You are children of the day. You know what that means? It means you must be aware. You must be spiritually perceptive. You must remain watchful. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get distracted by all of the demon theories in this hour. You keep your focus on a heavenly Father, because it's the last call. You must be prayerfully observant. You must be discerning of changes in the seasons. You must be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. Basically, pay attention at every moment, because any moment is the last moment. The bridegroom cometh. Jesus is coming. It's not a fairy tale. It is a fact of Bible prophecy. Jesus is coming, and you need to make yourself ready. But you got to have light. Proverbs 13:9 said, the light of the righteous rejoiceth. But listen, the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Job 18 and 5 through 6, yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle. Oh God, I pray, don't give us tabernacles in religious settings and dead churches that have no light in them, that have no fire in them, that have no passion in them. Maybe a part of what's going to happen in this hour is the fruitfulness of churches that rise up out of lethargy and the become more evangelistic, of homes that become more passionate for the presence of God than they've ever been. Because the Bible said the wicked man is going to have his candle put out. Psalm 119, 105, one of my favorite scriptures. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know about you, but I need his GPS. I need his guidance system. I need his prophetic signs. I need the road signs that he's posted along this journey, this road of discipleship, because we're not just in this life to be religious. We are preparing for another life, one that doesn't end, one that goes on and on and on, one that can only be matched by the word itself, eternity, eternity. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Notice it's 2 Peter 1:19. I want COVID-19 to meet 2 Peter 1:19, because every disease and sickness and virus and pandemic is subject ultimately to the old rugged cross, to the day star Jesus Christ. And we might be in a dark place, but I want you to know the day is going to dawn. We might have some dark hours with dead bodies being rolled out of hospital ICU rooms, but I want you to know the day is going to dawn. The resurrection of Jesus is not a fairy tale. It is the substance of every believer's faith. And I want you to know that Jesus is the light that shines in a dark place. The inky night obscures the starry heavens with blackened blankets, charred of hell, smothering hope, and keeping silent the fearful and afraid. This is the cloak of the great deceiver, and Satan is on the loose like never before. He is the most devious perpetrator of all time. He is a gleeful killer that is never satiated. He seeks, according to the Bible, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is a poisonous breath from sulfurs of evil. He is a snare to dreamers and a web weaver to the arrogant. He is darkness. I want you to know, every devil that could hear the word of God, Jesus is the light that shines in a dark place. Back off, demons. The lamp of truth just walked through the door. Run for your nebulous cover of mischievous domains. Hide in your night crawler cellars of eternal indignity. You are bested by the day star. You are banished by the fire of Horeb's bush. You are burned in the radiant shafts of holiness that stream down from the throne of God, situated above all sickness, sin, and death. Isaiah 60 and 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But guess what, COVID-19? Guess what, natural disasters? Guess what, global terrors and terrorism? You don't get the final say, because the Bible said the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. But I must tell you today, some men won't get out of the darkness because they love darkness rather than light. They would rather stumble in the night with devilish creatures and sightless assurance only a few feet from the edge of eternity. They would rather do that than walk on the lighted path of safety, security, peace, and everlasting prosperity. They whisper their perverted secrets in the dark, but at the shout of a coming Christ, they will be exposed and grief-stricken. You see, at the day of the Lord, truly the last call, the sun is rising and setting at the same time. I want you to think about that for a moment. How can that be? Sunrise in New York City was at 6:37 a.m. this morning. But halfway around the world at roughly the same time, within a few minutes, the sun was setting at 6:37 p.m. in Hong Kong. It rose in one place but was setting in another. I want to tell you today, sinner friend. I want to tell you today, backslider. I want to tell you today, drifter. I want to tell you that when the Lord comes, you can't be on the wrong side of the Word of God. You can't be on the opposite side of His will. You can't be halfway around worldliness, living in time zones of iniquity and lawlessness. You need to get in sync with Him. You need to get in His time zone. Repentance will get you in His time zone. Falling in contrition and brokenness, godly sorrow, the Bible said, worketh repentance. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus today for the remission of your sin. Don't put it on. Be filled with the Holy Ghost today, for there will be a sunrise for the saved, but there's going to be a sunset for the unsaved, for the doomed, and it's going to happen at the same time, because the Bible calls it the great and the terrible day of the Lord. It's great for those who live by the grace of God, but it's going to be terrible for those who have only given in to temptations and the treacheries of an end time antichrist generation. Wake up! The bridegroom's coming. The last call is being given. Fall on your face and repent, because Jesus is coming. It's the last call. And so we go back to the cross. I want to take you back to the cross. I know that Jesus is coming again, but did you know He already came once? He stepped into our broken world. The curtain unfurls on the stage of love, and this romantic from heaven was in search of his lost love, and he reached for it. He reached for that dying affection, and he wants to take your hand. He is stretched as far as he can be stretched on that cross. Squawking buzzards wing on demon winds, and death cries echo from haunted chambers of the grave. A Savior is dying! And the disciples are somewhere secretly lamenting. A Redeemer is drawing his last breaths, and the taut faces of the gleeful religious leaders are just a bit too satisfied. At this moment, sin still reigns, but the Savior is struggling to breathe air in this world. His lungs are tightening, the broken body unable to hold the plane of existence much longer. And something pushes against the locked door of Hades. For now, death, hell, and the grave feel confident, comfortable in their fortress environs of shadows and gloom. But the scent, can you imagine? He caught a whiff of it, old death did. A scent of, is that a rose? It's a living rose. It permeated the stench of rotted flesh and dusty bones. There was a stirring among the unlit caverns where the dead dwell. Jesus is dying. His breaths are shortened. His voice is weakened. His eyes are blurring to the vision of this world. As the images of the nether regions, the realm of the dead, the home of the grim reaper, come into focus. He has rebuked the bony fingers of this death master on many occasions, raising a sick and feeble body from a deathbed, calling a friend from the mummified bonds of 4 days a prisoner in this lifeless region. But each time death and hell and the grave rolled back to their dominions, still in charge, still ruling the masses of the young and the old, still evoking tears of sadness from broken-hearted loved ones, still ignoring the pleas to live by terminally wounded soldiers of 1,000 battles. But on this day, at a cross, something is changing. Jesus pushes his back against the prickly splinters of that rugged wood, and he strains to fill his lungs one last time to speak one more phrase, to utter one more sentence. He doesn't want the sinner to stay in his chains. He doesn't want the night to be endless for those who have forgotten the sun. He doesn't want the tiny viruses that sneak through the pores of skin to have the final say. He would rather die a penniless pauper on the outskirts of Jerusalem than to live as a lonely God on a majestic throne, adored by angels a million miles from sinners. He came to our world because of love. He came to be rejected by his own blood, to give hope to abandoned nations who could be washed by his blood. And in that moment, when the clouds of an angry tempest closed in from the west, Jesus stared in the depths of death and gazed at the cold hands of its ruler, gripping a skull-inlaid scepter and smiling nervously. And he gave the threesome of doom, death, hell, and the grave, one last call. It would be spoken in whispered tones from a bruised shell of humanity, but it thundered down the auditory hard surfaces of the caverns and the caves. And it boomed like 1,000 unified storms, and at a decibel level unbearable to the ears of death, he said it. It is finished. Your rule is over. Someday, a bride will be brought out of the dust of the earth, and I will have conquered death, hell, and the grave. You don't get to rule like you used to anymore. It's your last call. Now, in modern day terms, many of you might know this from how you used to live, or maybe some that are hearing me right now where you live now. People go to the bars. Last call is an announcement made shortly before the bar closes for the night, informing patrons of their last chance to buy alcoholic beverages. I looked this up yesterday. In the state of Colorado, there is a state-specific law. It's 2 a.m. That's your last call for a drink. But I'm not talking about whiskey and beer and wine and mixed drinks of other kinds. I'm not talking about alcoholic beverages now. I'm asking you, what is the last call for the new wine of the Holy Ghost? Is it nuclear midnight? Is it the dawn of destruction? Is it the middle of the night when the thief comes by cover of darkness? What is the last call? Are we witnessing it right now? Or is this just a signal? Is this the beginning of sorrows that is the caution light going off to cultures and races and countries and nationalities? Because the blood of Jesus is no respecter of persons. It's just looking for faith. Whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord. Someday, the last sinner somewhere will be bent on his knees, bowing at an altar of faith. Beneath the limbs of an old rugged cross, he'll be the last one to ever call on his name. He'll be the last sinner ever saved. I'm telling you right now, friend, this is not to be a doom and gloom preacher. No, rather, I'd like to tell you, this is the greatest opportunity you've ever had, because hope is swinging on the doors of everlasting truth. And while those hinges might be squeaking, it's last time for an openness to sinners and the lost. I tell you today, respond to his last call. Don't wait Don't wait until it's too late. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, repent of your sins right now where you are. Lift your hands where you are. Ask him to forgive you right now. Quit playing games with God. Wake up! The bridegroom is coming.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.